UK Wine Show, show number 67. Mike Ratcliffe on Black Empowerment in South Africa. G'day. Welcome to the UK Wine Show, show number 67 for the 7th of September, 2007. My name is Chris Scott, and this week we're talking with Mike Ratcliffe, General Manager of Warwick Wines from South Africa, but also Deputy Chairman of South African Wine Industry Trust. We're going to be talking with Mike about black economic empowerment. With democratic elections in 1994, South Africa's been trying to redistribute the wealth and social equality in the country. First through the Truth and Reconciliation Courts, and now through black empowerment. We find out what they're trying to achieve and how it's going to help the disadvantaged black people get into the wine industry. But before we get into black empowerment, let's get empowered with the news with our very own Jane Scott.
Thanks, Chris. In the news this week, New Zealand Pinot beats Burgundy and Europe is ripe for the picking. But first, bog-offs, three-for-twos and other multi-buy discounts on alcohol could be outlawed in Scotland as part of the country's crackdown on binge drinking. The Scottish Government has announced plans to change the Licensing Act to prevent retailers from offering irresponsible promotions. It also proposes to restrict the outlets where alcoholic drinks can be sold. The Wine and Spirit Trade Association responded by saying the measures will unfairly penalise the majority of Scots as well as damage the Scottish economy. And who knows, we might even see Scottish consumers hopping over the border to England for cheap booze. Meanwhile, New Zealand has made its mark as producer of fine Pinot Noir by triumphing over Burgundy in the Decanter World Wine Awards. Bald Hills Bannockburn from Central Otago beat wines from the original home of the grape variety to win Best Pinot Noir for its 2005 vintage. And for the second year running, Waitrose proved to be Decanter Reader's favourite supermarket to buy wine from, while Majestic was voted High Street Retailer of the Year and the Wine Society was Online Merchant of the Year. And finally, it seems our continental friends have been enjoying an even better summer than usual, with rising temperatures forcing early harvests across Europe. In France, many regions are picking early. Champagne has started one of its earliest ever, following a mild winter and warm spring. And Alsace, usually one of the last to collect its harvest, has already been taking grapes from the vines. In Italy, a warm winter, followed by heat waves in spring and summer, has caused the grapes to ripen a month earlier than normal. Europe's 2007 vintage is expected to be smaller than in recent times, and French growers are predicting one of the smallest harvests in 20 years. Summer storms and wet weather resulting in diseased vines are to blame. That's all this week, but 10 years ago, in 1997, the Times reported it was generally accepted that drinking 2 to 4 standard glasses of wine a day could benefit the arteries. There's been much research since to indicate that red wine in moderation can play a part in maintaining a healthy lifestyle. For more on this, you can listen to show number 31 with Roger Corder, the author of The Wine Diet. And don't forget, you can get more detail on these news stories on the news homepage of our website, 3050.co.uk. That's it from me. Back to you, Chris.
Thanks, Jane. Yeah, go you good Otago Pinot. Being from Otago myself, I'm absolutely thrilled that Otago Pinot is beating all comers to be the best Pinot in the world. I'm a huge fan of Otago wines, which, to be honest, didn't exist when I was a small boy. I've tried a lot of the wines from Otago and from the Bannockburn sub-region that Bald Hills comes from. We interviewed Mike Herrick from Mount Difficulty in Otago's Bannockburn region back in show number 27. So if you want to find out why Otago Pinot is so, so very good, I suggest you listen to that show. Great to see Majestic and Waitrose doing well. We're actually going to be talking about wine retailers over the next three shows, and we're going to be talking to Tim Howe from Majestic and Justin Howard-Sneed, the head wine buyer at Waitrose, about their wine retailing and positioning. So good timing for that Decanter Award. Not too sure about the Scottish reduction in wine offers, mainly from the supermarkets. On the one hand, it may reduce the power of the brands to flush wines through the big supermarkets, and with their big marketing budgets, the ability to sell wines close to or even below break-even point. But this doesn't sound like great news to those wine drinkers out there who like to buy the cheapest stuff on the shelf. But it may mean that they're starting to try new wines. But to be honest, I think there's so much promotional money out there, it'll just go somewhere else and encourage them to drink those sort of wines. Don't forget, we've been running a survey online asking people about labelling on bottles. Should calories and alcohol units be displayed on the front of bottles? But next up, we have the interview with Mike Ratcliffe. Hi, I'm here with Mike Ratcliffe. He's the general manager of Warwick Wines, but he's also the deputy chairman of South African Wine Industry Trust. How are you, Mike?
I'm very well, thanks, Chris.
Excellent. What we're going to talk about today is black empowerment. Do you want to give us a definition of what you think black empowerment is?
Well, it's black empowerment is easy to talk about when you've just got the spoken word, because color really doesn't come into it. But let me give you the definition. And this is my definition, and it's certainly not out of the Oxford Dictionary. Black economic empowerment is about literally that, empowering people to take their rightful place in an industry. It's not about giving people anything. It's not about funding people with anything. It's just about giving them the tools to make an active contribution in industry.
Is it an educational thing, or is it an opportunity, or both?
Well, as soon as you start giving people money, then it's about entitlement.
Yeah,
I'm a great believer in giving people the tools to help themselves. I'm also a great believer in sanitation before education. There's no point giving somebody an MBA if he hasn't got running water and sewage in his home. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's definitely a hierarchy of an empowerment, and you have to start at the bottom. But by putting in place the foundations, the building blocks really gather very quickly.
Okay, because I must admit, whenever I think of black empowerment, it's almost like positive discrimination, which is a big thing in New Zealand. And I don't really like positive discrimination because it is based on race and therefore is racism.
Well, you could call it that if you like. It depends what kind of bias you're coming from. But the fact of the matter is that our entire wine industry has been discriminated against, and through 40 years of apartheid, the distribution of opportunity has been unfairly allocated, which means that the South African wine industry is predominantly white owned, yet the workforce is predominantly black. Ultimately, for a successful society, you need to move towards a more equitable distribution of assets. And what I'm not advocating is a random redistribution of assets. What I'm advocating is giving people the tools to earn those assets.
Okay, so I noticed, for example, there's a thing called the Protégé program where they've taken the first black winemaker and he's being tutored to bring him up through. Is it the idea maybe that he would then, when he's finished, maybe be able to form joint ventures if he's a very successful winemaker and then get access to capital through those methods?
I think that's exactly it. We have a number of protégé programs. We have a very strong wine industry mentorship program of literally assigning a strong mentor to a black winemaker. I also don't think empowerment is necessarily about winemakers in the wine industry. It should be about wine marketers. The industry certainly needs more of those. It should be about viticulture. It should be about relevant logistical and support services. It is a very clear belief that the biggest obstacle in the wine industry is availability of capital. And, you know, that obstacle isn't one that we should be placing in front of our young black winemakers or wine industry personnel. We should be giving them the tools and, as you said, let them partner with existing properties, let them gain all the experience, let them make all the mistakes before they make those mistakes with their own capital.
Exactly. Okay, what is wine... As a deputy chairman of South African Wine Industry Trust, what exactly do you guys do?
Well, the Wine Industry Trust is a very positive body. It's a body which is ministerially appointed. It's appointed, all the trustees are appointed by the Minister of Agriculture. It is the vehicle through which government realizes its empowerment goals for the wine industry. So any kind of funding that goes to the industry goes through the trust. The trust, for example, is the biggest individual funder of Wines of South Africa. It's the biggest individual funder of research. Biggest we fund the black trade unions. We fund, well, the Wine Industry Ethical Trade Association. So as you can see, it is the primary funder of the South African wine industry. But through the funding mechanism, we make sure that we utilize the funds as a source of power to enforce that the industry transforms itself.
In terms of education, because it sounds like it's quite education-based, obviously get the sanitary in first, then educate the people, and then give them the opportunity. Is that the three processes in this that you guys look at? Or
yeah, I mean, we form a pyramid where the vast majority of what we do and what the funding that we do goes towards grassroots development. But we do have two PhD students that are studying at the moment at the University of Stellenbosch and the Graduate School of Business of Cape Town. So anything that works towards government's goal of true empowerment, which means empowering people to help themselves, we do that.
Is this going to be something that you, in 20 years' time, it's going to start petering out as you get people coming through, or is it something that you guys see going on forever and ever? You know, is there an end to this process, or is this going to be an ongoing process forever?
You know, there's certainly no end. I think that black empowerment, I would like to see black empowerment become dark brown empowerment, eventually become empowerment in general going into the future. I don't think that it is only black people that have been disadvantaged in the South African wine industry. And ultimately, the more successful we are, the less racially biased it's going to be.
Obviously, you're trying to achieve a lot within South Africa. Are you giving them exposure internationally?
Well, you know, ultimately, the South African wine industry doesn't hold all the answers. And getting these young black winemakers, viticulturalists, even entrepreneurs, getting them international skills is a goal. We have set up joint ventures with the University of Bonn in Burgundy. I think that's been going for about 5 years now, where we've sent 10 young black protégés over to Burgundy to work the harvest. They've also studied wine growing and viticulture at the University of Bonn. And we've set up a similar program in the United States, which is going great. I mean, it's really having a huge amount of success. Last year, we sent 10 young winemakers to funnily enough, the Virginian wine industry, where they worked the harvest, and we sent them over to California to the Monterey Wine Marketing College, where they studied wine marketing, and then brought them back to South Africa. And the sparkle in their eye when they got back was just unbelievable. You know, these guys picked up real life experience. Yeah. And so this is something, these are the kind of programs that we fund.
Okay, I think we'll wrap it up there, Mike. Thanks very much.
No worries.
Hope you enjoyed that interview with Mike. I must admit, I'm not a big fan of positive discrimination in the past. However, when you look at the absolute mess that Zimbabwe has got itself into over its reallocation of the wealth of the country, it does look the better of the two evils, I must admit. Next week, we start a series of three shows talking to wine retailers. We start with Decanter's top supermarket, Waitrose, with her interview with their head wine buyer, Justin Howard Sneed, followed by Mike Rogers, from boutique wine retailer Phil Glass and Swigert. And we finish up with Decanter's High Street Retailer of the Year, Majestic, with the CEO, Tim Howe. If you're a regular listener, please send me your comments. I'd love to hear them. You also can get a chance to subscribe to our excellent monthly newsletter by contacting me through the Contact Us page on our website, www.ukwineshow.co.uk. Or you can email me at chris.scott@ukwineshow.co.uk. Or if you subscribe through iTunes, you can put some comments on the show so that everybody else can see and enjoy what you've said about the show. Please, nice comments mainly though. And don't forget, the UK Wine Show is sponsored by 3050, the UK's top wine tasting company. Whether it's for education or entertainment, we can sort you out. So until next week, cheers and good drinking.
The UK Wine Show is a weekly podcast brought to you by 3050, the wine tasting company. The show is produced by Jane Scott, recorded and edited by Chris Scott, and the news is researched by Sandra Clement. To listen to other shows, visit www.ukwineshow.co.uk. Thank you for listening.